This is the Wu Wei Wisdom Podcast. Our weekly no-nonsense life lessons aim to inspire you to master your emotional and spiritual health, achieve balance, harmony, and flow, and rediscover the authentic and awesome you. We're your hosts, David James Lees and Alexandra Lees. This week, we are talking all about midlife crisis. We'll be exploring the signs, symptoms, and most importantly, the causes of midlife crisis and how your inner child may be involved. And we'll be discussing how we can all make peace with and positively embrace the aging process. Okay, David, so what exactly is a midlife crisis in terms of what your clients come to you with?
Well, I had to smile when you were doing the introduction because I love these statements. Remember where I talk about the power of the words? So listen to that statement, midlife crisis. And so right away, we know that the inner child is involved. So for those of you new joining our recordings for the first time, remember what we mean by the inner child. So you may want to call it your ego, your superego, your alter ego, your emotional mind, your subconscious mind. I much prefer the term the inner child. And this statement, midlife crisis, is the child participating, connecting to another one of the Wu Wei Wisdom's teachings, is what we call CCJ, criticizing, comparing, or being judgmental. So this idea of a midlife crisis is definitely the inner child at work and definitely gone into CCJ.
So if a client comes to you, what are they typically saying in terms of CCJ?
So they're either criticizing or comparing themselves. I'm not doing as much as I should be doing, or comparing myself with other people of my age, my status, I'm not doing as well or as good as they are doing or I should be doing. So it's very much either comparing themselves with others or criticizing themselves or being judgmental about themselves and their process and progress in life.
And so I know this CCJ habit, this self-harming habit.
Choice, not a habit.
Okay, so it's a choice that we make. We allow ourselves to be led by our inner child, which is always wanting more, wanting to be the best, wanting perfection.
Yes.
But that choice, as we say on all our teachings, can go on throughout our life. So why does it become a problem for some people only in midlife? Or does it only become a problem for some people in midlife?
It's just a different manifestation of what they're going through, that period is in their life. So in the mid-years, 50-ish, children have left home. Perhaps the career has got a little bit stagnated. Perhaps they need another input to move on to something else. Perhaps they're just going onto the treadmill of commuting to work and doing the same thing, living in the same house for a long time. So things become a little bit stale. And instead of sitting back and doing the Wu Wei approach of finding a more authentic and positive, creative way out of it, the inner child becomes the severe inner critic and then starts looking at the negativity of the situation. Start looking at worst case scenarios. And it could be, oh, you're putting on weight. Oh, you're losing hair a little bit. Oh, you're getting a little bit crinkly. Oh, look at somebody else. Oh, why don't I think about a kind of a facelift or a nose job or some other thing to try and make myself appear better or look better instead of taking responsibility for treading your life course and walking your track.
And do you think it's, I mean, in last week's teaching, we were talking about how when we reach a stage of everything's okay, I don't need to work for anything anymore, I'm okay as I am, Once we step off the treadmill of working ourselves harder and harder and harder and stop the striving, it's almost like our inner child doesn't like that state because it kind of unnerves it. It's like, well, is this all there is? And so I wonder, like, for some people, they can spend the kind of 20s, 30s, 40s striving to build things, to achieve things. Once I've earned my position in my career, once I've created and nurtured my family, once I've got that house or that car I've been working for, that preoccupies the inner child, the human-centered mind. And then when we get to that point where we have what we've been striving for, it's like, what now?
Exactly, because the inner child is trained on the CCJ, comparing, always looking for someone else. And seeing that as, remember last time we talked about the carrot and the stick, seeing that as either the carrot you have to something achieve or the whip to whip you. So the inner child is always on this, what we call the carousel of despair. You may call the hamster's wheel, always wanting, wanting, wanting more. And then when it gets to a time in its life where things have been achieved and you have reached goal, then it's almost, rather than being an elation, it's almost like a deflation for that part of the mind, because it's always wanting to compare. Yeah. This is the cause of this, always looking externally for value or validation or approval or strokes of other people. And so therefore, that's what the crisis, the inner child will offer you. This is a crisis. We need to do something else. We need to kind of throw in the marriage. We need to buy a Ferrari. We need to move homes. We need to move countries. Again, though, you see what it's doing. It's always looking externally for stimulation instead of looking internally for you to follow your path, for you to be inspirational, for you to find that positive way of life, that track, that walk, that path that inspires you, that you get that inspiration. But the inner child, no, it will always be looking outside of yourself, looking and comparing yourself, criticizing you, or being judgmental.
And I guess really the inner child, as you say, is never satisfied. No. So although we may have achieved what we set out to achieve when we were younger, at that point of arrival, if you like, the inner child always looks and compares with the neighbor, the peer, the person in the magazine, the, you know, somebody who seems to be having a wonderful relationship and my relationship's not so exciting.
And here's the life lesson. That's the life lesson. So the inner child, when they're always looking externally for this mystical value that we've talked about in many videos, and think about it for a moment, how can you get external value when you already have value? And so the inner child, it's always striving to reach this stage of value and worth and admiration and to be held in high esteem, but it's never satisfied because it can never reach it. So it's always looking. So when you've reached that great house, when you've got your children, when you've taken them through school and university, when they've left home, then all of a sudden for the inner child, there's almost like a deflation. There's almost like, and that's what he brings up a word, or she brings up the word, crisis. Then he looks at the mirror and he goes, oh my goodness, there's a few more crinkles. Oh, my hair's lost. Oh, I'm putting on a little bit of weight. Then he goes into critical mode. So what have you done with your life? Hey, you've wasted your time. You should have been far better. Look at somebody else. They've got more money than you, a bigger house, a swimming pool. They're doing this, they're doing that. So you see what it's doing. That part of your mind that we call the inner child is very childlike. It's always looking to compare, worrying, looking for the next thing. And so it's on the merry-go-round, the carousel going round and around and around. And if you don't stop it, and this is when people don't like when I say this word, but you've got to stop it. Because if you don't, you're being led by the inner child. You are the emotional slave. You are surrendering to your emotions and your life loses all meaning because what you're doing, you're following what? Nothing.
You would think as well that as a mature adult, you know, because we're talking about midlife, we've had life experience, we should be more emotionally mature. And yet, so we're not talking about someone in their 20s going and doing something really out of the ordinary, really radical, drastic, kind of to create upheaval within their life. We're talking about a mature person. And yet that inner child, when people have a midlife crisis, they do really unbalanced things. And so why is it that our mind, our maturity doesn't kind of stop us from doing that?
So here comes another life lesson. It's because you're almost addicted to that way of thinking. You've been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years. It's like an addiction. And so when you listen to something like that we're saying, one part of your mind going, of course, that's the right thing. But then that part of your mind, the mature part of your mind, is not in control. You have this mischievous little child of about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, who's actually got their hands on the steering wheel of your car, of your life, and driving you. And so you're addicted to this way of thinking. And that's why for a lot of my clients, working with them, when you get through all the kind of the difficulty, all the resistance, all the negativity, the worst case scenarios, the stubbornness, the reactive behavior, it always amazes me when you fight your way through it, they kind of smile in recognition because they know that they're following this illusion, this dream of somehow that everything is going to work out, this utopian world where they're top of the heap, they're on a pedestal, everybody goes, oh my God, you're so beautiful, you're so successful, you are the greatest. And that can never be achieved. And they know that. They know that. Of course they do. But this addiction to this emotional inner child is so powerful. And that's why our teaching is do not ignore it. Mm. I know a lot of other teachers out there say ignore it, block it off, shut it out. We're saying the opposite. We're saying understand it, educate it, bring it into a oneness. Bring it in. This child is not against you. This child is not a monster. This part of your mind that we're calling the inner child has this illusion that it's got from the age of 6, 7, 8, 9, that if everything is the way that it wants it to be, wouldn't that be perfect? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the way that we want it to be is never right.
Yeah, and I think that the inner child, although, as you say, with your clients, you can get to the point where you can see the kind of farcical nature of the inner child's logic about, oh, well, I should be doing this, I should have achieved this. And it is farcical, but it creates a lot of destruction. It creates a lot of hurt and dissatisfaction within ourselves. And it also creates a lot of hurt and dissatisfaction within our families. You know, it breaks up marriages, it creates problems in relationships, it creates problems in, you know, wider family structures, or, you know, it's a very self-harming and destructive pattern of thinking that we shouldn't allow ourselves to indulge.
But when you follow the inner child, you're putting an 8-year-old in control of your life, and that 8-year-old is not fully developed to see the wider picture. They only see life through their very narrow lens of what's right for me, getting external validation, approval, getting other people to agree with me, getting that validation from outside. And so when you're following that filter of life, then you can never be satisfied. Mm. But you know, when I talk to my clients, as I say, the first session or two can be very challenging because we're breaking through that. It's like that addiction of thinking.
Yeah.
And it can be almost like two rutting steers for a lot of my clients, because I'm challenging those inner child thoughts. And then when we break through and you reach what I call Shen, that spiritual nature, then that smile of understanding comes.
So, well, you mentioned Shen there. So we've discussed the inner child's viewpoint on midlife and how it CCJs us. It judges, it criticizes, it compares, and it undermines us. So what would be this Shen, this inner spiritual wise nature that we have, this other part of ourselves that we so often ignore? What is the, I guess, the Shen perspective on midlife?
So this is the Wu Wei wisdom model that we try and share with you here. Is the first of all, you have to deal with the inner child, and that's a handful, because this inner child is very strong, very determined, because it's you. It's you. This is your qualities. Yes, out of balance. Remember, we talk about the emotional pendulum, but it is a part of you, and we don't want to lose that determination. And that's why I think the idea of the scales is a good idea. The inner child is in ascendancy. And that other part of you that we call Shen, that you may call your inner knowing, your inner knowledge, your inner wisdom, try not to get hung up on the words, whatever word is right for you. What we have to do is, first of all, address the inner child. We have to teach the inner child the life lesson. And then that kind of readdresses the scale, and it allows you to connect more to that true inner wisdom that we call Shen. Some people call your spirituality, the true nature of who you are. And life lessons like this allow you to address the core of the problem. In this problem, it's about value. It's about the inner child seeing, for instance, the way you look affects your value, where the way you look means nothing to your value unless you are concerned about what other people think and say about you. Now, the inner child is. Your Shen nature is not. And so you have to teach the inner child the life lesson and readdress the balance. And that's by connecting more to the story and to the teachings of your Shen, your inner nature, inner knowing, inner self, inner understanding of this journey that you're on.
And we've done lots of teachings on the Shen, our Shen nature, and how to connect more to that Shen voice within you. So I like the way you distilled down the essential life lesson here, which is about self-worth and self-value.
Absolutely.
And that what fuels, I guess, the midlife crisis is the inner child believing that it's our value as an individual comes from external sources, yes, from a status.
Driving a Ferrari will suddenly make you...
Having a new wife,
yes.
Having a bigger house,
yep.
Having a better career position.
Yep.
If the inner child says, if we have those, if we can get those quickly, before time runs out almost,
yep.
Then we're okay.
Yes.
We're good enough.
Yes. No. We're not good enough. We need that to be better.
The
child will always
want to be better, best. Yeah. Yeah.
It's never going to be satisfied. That's the teaching, Alex. It's never going to be satisfied.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you give it, because give him the Ferrari,
yeah.
Then he's not going to be satisfied, because he'll see a better car. He'll see somebody with two Ferraris,
yeah.
Or a garage full of Ferraris.
Yeah.
So he's never going to be happy.
But do you think the inner child, I agree with you, the inner child wants to be best. But I wonder sometimes whether the inner child wants to be best because that's the only way it can be good enough somehow.
So I
know that sounds really perverse and paradoxical.
No, the inner child is perverse and paradoxical because it has an illusion. This is what we said. It has a utopian where it is the best. It believes there is something like a destination when it is the best, the most the most handsome, the richest, the most beautiful, where everything is perfect.
Yeah.
You see, you mentioned in your introduction, the inner child has this idea of perfection, because when it reaches perfection, then everything it wants, it will get. It is a utopian,
yeah.
Or a Disney World ideal of the prince or the princess, and everything works out absolutely wonderfully well. Bunny rabbits run around the field, roses grow around the door, sun always shines, white fluffy clouds in the sky, and everybody thinks that they're the best. This is the inner child's ideal life. This is not reality. And this is always the problem. It's never satisfied buy another Ferrari, have another hairdo, have another facelift. It'll never be satisfied. It'll always be searching, searching, searching.
I mean, for sure, I think our society adds fuel onto this fire.
Absolutely.
In terms of like our consumerist society. When you open the magazines or see the billboards or go on the internet when we're being pushed adverts, it's all about being younger, having this. You know, age is not something that is gratified or held in high esteem. It's all about youthfulness, vitality, and somehow at a certain age that we're told we haven't got that, but we can have that if we do X, Y, and Z.
So you mentioned the word there, and that's the word again, value.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's the misunderstanding that the inner child has that you haven't already got value.
Mm.
That's why you have to get to the Shen. You have to understand the life lesson. You already have value and worth. That's the teaching. You already have it. As I've said in many videos, when you came into this world, the midwife didn't hold you up and said, quick, can somebody give this child some value and worth? You have it intrinsically in your Shen, in your spirituality. That's who you are. You have value when you're 1 minute old,
yeah,
or a minute before you pass out of this life. You have value all the way through this life journey. And here's the Taoist teaching. Enjoy the journey. Don't keep looking at the destination. Don't keep looking at when this happens, then everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. If I just only had this, if I had that, if I had another car, if I had a bigger house, if I had a swimming pool, if I had this and that, you're not going through and living in the moment. You're not appreciating the health and the vitality and everything you have that makes you awesome. You are already awesome. Getting something is not going to make you more awesome.
And I think, though, that the inner child, though, sees aging and the life journey as a kind of something which is a diminishing thing. I guess it looks, I suppose, for a lot of people's inner child, they may reach midlife and then they think, oh, well, you know, I've only got so much time left now. And then that way of thinking,
exactly,
also fuels the crisis, because it's like, I haven't gathered enough value.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness, I've only got 10, 20, 30, 40 decades left and I'm not valuable enough yet.
I haven't reached my destination.
Yeah.
I haven't got this magical elixir of value and worth. This is an inner child. This is an 8-year-old still believing that they are codependent. This is why the inner child work is so powerful for you. This is not the thought of a spiritual, adjusted, mature human being getting every moment of life, valuing their creativity, valuing this blessing that we're living our life. Just wake up every morning and say, thank goodness that I'm alive. Thank goodness that I'm here. And no, the inner child's not happy with that, not happy with what he got.
Mm.
It always wants more. It's like that carrot. It always wants more. And then, as you say, it gets to 50, 60, and he goes, I haven't got it yet. And I've only got 6 more, 3 more, 4 more decades ahead of me. I've got to keep working. What should I do? How do I get it? But the question is, you already have it. This is what I teach my clients. How can somebody give you what you've already got? And then they say, yes, but I don't think I have it. This is the inner child thinking that value is somehow a commodity,
yeah,
like a cup of value. Here's a cup of value. Here it is. Drink this cup of value and you will be filled with value. You will be filled with worth. So many of my clients say things like, I have no self-worth. If you think about that statement again, it's filled with the inner child nonsense. So you, self, do not think you have worth. So where do you think worth comes from? This is what I ask them. So where do you get worth from? Well, other people give it to me. Well, how can somebody give you worth? What is it? Like a box of worth? They mail it to you. They send it in an email. This is inner child misunderstanding, critical, worst case, reactive, not mature thinking. And even though you nod your head as you listen to this, be careful your inner child is not running your life.
And I think that paradigm, that way of thinking, for most people is not something new. That program of thinking has been going on throughout their life since childhood. And for a lot of people in middle age who describe themselves as reaching this point of crisis, it can be just a new manifestation of the same issues, you know, essentially still trying to prove themselves to their parents, even when they're in their 50s and 60s. They're still trying to prove a point that is like a hang up from childhood.
It's exactly the same, Alex. That's a really good point. It's a child. It's the same when you were a child, when you were a teenager and you were looking on social media. It's like when you were a parent and you were looking at other people's children and how you parented. It's your career. And you see, it's a pattern. That's why I call it an addiction. It's a pattern all through your life. And so mid-age is just another example that the inner child, as if you like, can step in and start to CCJ you. Remember, here's the teaching, CCJ, criticizing, comparing, and being judgmental. Here's what the inner child is doing, is creating a separation. It's looking at you and saying, you have no worth. You're not enough. You can't cope. You are always last. Other people are better than you. And this is where it goes wrong. In your mind, you've created that energetic separation. So you have a part of your mind. Some of my clients say it's like two devils, one sitting and talking to them, the inner critic. But remember, it's still you. Don't fall for the trap. That's why we do these videos. And that's when I say, stop it. For goodness sake, stop it. You know this is a nonsense. You've always known this is a nonsense. Don't fall for this trap. This is your life. You are already valuable. You are amazing. You have got intrinsic worth. You always have. You always will have. Yeah. It's how you use it. And by connecting to your Shen spiritual knowledge, your inner knowledge, and this is the life lesson. Don't look at life through the lens of the inner child. Look at it through your Shen and see how fortunate you are. Just see the blessing that in your life right now. It doesn't matter the state of your life. Just listening to this and being part of this fantastic world, you are blessed. How do you use that?
Great. And we've done so many teachings on this CCJ, this comparing, this searching for perfection, and how you reparent and work with your inner child to overcome that. Because as we said, it's something that just doesn't start happening in midlife. It essentially goes on and runs, is the backdrop to your psyche for all your life. So it can be done at any age, and no age is too late.
No.
Now, I just want to ask you, David, because we've talked a lot about the midlife crisis, which involves the inner child comparing, criticizing, judging. We're not enough. We're not valuable enough. What about the midlife crisis, which some people could say, which is a blessing, where you may have been operating on this inauthentic belief system, building your foundations of your life on inauthentic, shaky grounds, about pleasing other people, accumulating status, accumulating wealth? What about those people who have a midlife crisis when they get to a certain age and all of a sudden it's like a flash of lightning? It dawns on them. Everything I've been working for, everything I stand for, everything that I've placed value on actually has no meaning or value. And that it's like they get, it's almost like a spiritual awakening. They awaken to what matters most.
Well, that's what I was going to call it as you were formulating the question. I would call that your enlightenment. It's like somebody switched on a light. And I would say that's the greatest gift that you could have. And you could reassess from a spiritual, mature point of view, what is important for you? What is your value? And how do you live up and grow into your value of creativity and sensitivity and worth and positive? So even if you had 1 week to live, that you live that week authentically. And that's what I would call the enlightenment. When you come out of the fairy tale story that the inner child has been giving you all through your life and you're so heavily addicted to, and suddenly you can see it for what it is, that somebody switches on a light. And that's how I see it. That's why I like the word enlightenment. It's like you've switched on a light. And I've said in many videos before, it's almost like you're looking through life through a pinhole, and everything you see is through this pinhole. And all of a sudden, somebody walks in and goes, chup, and the light comes on, and you see all of the possibilities. I don't care whether you're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, all of the possibilities. Perhaps this is your time to write, to paint, to draw, to do something creative, to guide, to help others, to see your value, to pass on your wisdom, to pass on your understanding. And this is the enlightenment that Alex has just described. Don't waste time looking through life through this pinhole, because all you'll see is very narrow and filtered, and you'll see no opportunities. Once you switch on the light, once you see all around you, once you see every possibility that is around you, then you can start living your life spiritually in Wu Wei. And that's what Wu Wei means. Effortless effort in your flow. And then every moment becomes a blessing. Not something that you've got to reach to get a blessing. You've already got the blessing. If you relate to perhaps sitting on the train, rather than worrying about whether you're going to get to the destination, you all can look out the window and enjoy the journey, because this is your life. You are immensely authentic and amazing to be living this life. Why don't you live from your true spirituality and live authentically? Live to what's important for you. Follow your footsteps. As I often say, walk in fresh snow. Make your own footsteps. Don't follow someone else's. Don't worry about what other people think of you. What other people think of you is none of your business. Care more about what you think about you.
And in practical terms, that blessing of an awakening that many people have, once they've got a little bit of life experience under their belt, they've tried one system of being and then it just doesn't work. You know, they get for years and years, they've suffered the consequence, which is the uncomfortable, painful red light emotions, emotional disruption, because something's not right. They have that awakening. It dawns on them all of a sudden, hold on, this path I've been taking is the wrong path. That we don't want the inner child to hijack that and then make us wallow and say, oh, I've wasted so much of my life. Oh, this is going to be so difficult to change my life now. Because the inner child will want to hijack, you know, the inner child will want to drag you back onto the old path.
Yes.
So it will try its best to hijack. And so, as you say, we just need to be more mindful about what our intentions are for each day.
Yes, I think in our model, we call it yi, Y-I, yi. And the closest English word is intention. So you have to be very careful. What is your intention? And for many of my clients, their intention is not their shen, their true, their authentic intention. The intention is that of the inner child, wanting external value, wanting to be on the pedestal, wanting praise, wanting validation, wanting all of this. So your intention becomes a wanting intention instead of coming from an authentic spiritual intention of truth, honesty, and integrity. What we call the spiritual contract. And if you honor that contract and connect to that part of you, then the direction of your life, like changing the sat-nav, changes and you start walking on your path. On that path will bring you absolutely, then we're talking about the law of attraction and everything. It starts to bring you all of these gifts that the universe are waiting to shower on you when you start walking your true path.
And I guess to my mind, when you've just described that, David, it's like the inner child, when we're in middle age, I guess halfway through our life journey, the inner child has the tendency to look back on what's happened and what we should have done, and then look forward and think how limited we are, how little time we've got. Whereas what you've just said is the Shen sits at that kind of junction point and says simply, how can I live with truth, honesty, and integrity in this moment today? The Shen does not look backwards. It does not look forwards. It just sits quietly in that moment of that day or that hour.
Well, what value do you have of looking backwards or forwards? Because you can't do anything about those, but you can change this moment right now. And that's really about you being in your authenticity. That's about you living in that creativeness that you've got. What is it you've always wanted to do, for instance? If you're at this age now, I don't know, what would it be, midlife, 50, 55, 60, 65, I guess, 45, I don't know. What is it you've always wanted to do? And what's stopping you from doing it today? Starting it today, right now. Start it now. And then you'll hear this little voice that we call the inner child. Oh, yeah, it's not going to work. People are not going to agree with you. People are going to think you're stupid. Oh, it won't work. Oh, you're too late to start this. And this is the inner child. And that's what you've got to bring, that inner child into the oneness. You've got to understand why the inner child is saying that. Remember, it is not, despite what other people say, it is not your enemy. It is not out to screw you over. It's a little child, frightened. It doesn't like what it's doing, but it's used to doing it. So it doesn't like change. And so you've got to gently coax it into changing, and you've got to bring it along with you.
Brilliant. Thank you, David. And I would love to hear listeners' thoughts on, you know, what is it that you can do today, right now, to live in your truth, honesty, and integrity? How can you stop looking backwards and looking forwards and just be more in the now? We really, really hope you enjoyed this teaching. If you have, please do comment below. David works every week with clients all over the world on topics just like this. So if you'd like to learn more about David's video call consultations, I will put a link in the show notes to those as well. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Wu Wei Wisdom Life Lesson. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and please rate and review us to help us grow. If you'd like to work one-to-one with David, he supports clients all over the world every week via video call. You can learn more about David's consultations, plus our online events, offers, and gifts on our website, wuweiwisdom.com. You can also meet and share with us in our private Facebook group, on our YouTube channel, and on Instagram. Search for Wu Wei Wisdom and you'll find us. Until next time, stay happy, healthy, and in your flow.